Okay, I think we're ready to get started. I think it's fairly obvious why I'm not standing behind the podium. That is really one heck of a podium. I'm Carol Mandel. I'm Dean of the Division of Libraries at New York University, but more important for today, I am the chair of the Board of Governors of Archive Space. And so I'm here to convene and welcome you to this meeting. We have been calling it, and it is, our first ever membership meeting, but actually it's a users forum. It's not an official bylaws kind of membership meeting. It's for it's a program forum for those of you who, most of you I assume, have been here in Cleveland at the SAA meeting. Probably you've been here a long time, and so staying even longer for Archive Space, I thank you for doing that. That is the heart of what makes this all work, is this engaged, enthusiastic community that we have involved with making this software work for all of us. So thank you very much for hanging out. More time in Cleveland. I hope you've been having some fun, too. And for coming to this meeting. So, let me first say I want to thank the program committee that's been working on today. You have quite a terrific program. I want to thank Christine. Is Christine still out there helping people, or is Christine DeVille, who is our Christine, your title, Community Outreach and Support Manager. It's a long title, and you are demonstrating how much we need exactly that and what a wonderful job somebody can do in that role, and thank you. So, Christine, and we have, when I say your name, program committee members, could you just stand up? Ben Blake, Linda.
Ben is outside.
Ben, oh, that's Ben outside doing name check. Ben, thank you. Linda Kachurik, Leah Osborne. She did this for everyone else and not for her. Melissa Wisner, here, and Christine. So thank you very much for making this program possible. And I also, I'm going to do another little round of stand-up. I want to, and I dropped the list, which means I could forget a name. I want to introduce the other board members, because so that you know who they are. Linda, since you stood up already, why don't you stand? And you're representing the small institutional category. And, for heaven's sake, the very small, one of our new board members is Tom Adams, I'm sorry, this is just terrible, from Cold Spring Harbor Labs, and has just joined the board. Thank you all for electing him. I want to say thank you to the very small member rep that is leaving us, Chris Irvin, who's just done a fantastic job in that role. So I'm doing this, I see people along the route. I know. Why don't they just stand up? So John Price, welcome. Brian Schottlander, Megan Marinoff, and our other newest board member, Christian DuPont. Thank you very much for serving on the board. Sorry, I had my list and then I left it back. You can see I am not running for Congress and I would not be elected because I just don't do that stuff. Names well, but I do. So, and then you're going to be hearing in a little bit from your lyricist, brand new, day 64, lyricist, day 64. Executive director, president. What's your title?
CEO,
Robert Miller. You all know, you must know Brad Westbrook, who there would be no Archive Space if it wasn't for Brad, and Angela Spinazzi. So you'll be hearing from all of them very shortly. So I just I wanted to say a few things because, if you'll indulge me, for some of us here, particularly Brian and Brad and me. Today's meeting is kind of a big milestone in what's been more than a decade of work. I was looking back at notes and as I was thinking about this meeting, and University of California, San Diego and NYU started working on the Archivist Toolkit in 2004. I expect that Chris Prom and others at Illinois started around the same time on Archon, maybe even earlier. And so it's been really many years. And this is quite a milestone in creating what we always dreamed of as a vital, active, you know, open source, community-based software. That's what we had set out to create. Back with our, you know, Archivist Toolkit and Archon. In 2009, the three institutions came together, actually with support and suggestion from the Mellon Foundation that we create, you know, that we take all of what we learned in those kind of trial balloon softwares that we had created and create now something that would combine the best of both and give the community what it needed, and we began, so in 2009, working on archive space. When we started that, you know, we'd been doing so much software development, but when we started working on archive space, we knew that we were not just partnering on software development, that we were going to have to figure out the means for the users of archive space, however that came out to be, to be able to own it, to be able to sustain it, to be able to implement it, to be able to keep developing it. So we knew that we were creating an organization as much as we were creating software, and that was even, well, you can't have one without, but you couldn't have the software without the other. And so we really worked for several years, actually, trying to figure out a business model that would enable really robust continued development and active user support, but at the same time be accessible to even the smallest institutions. So we really worked hard on figuring out what was a scale that would work, that would be enough support to make this possible, and then also make it accessible. And then we needed to figure out an organizational model. It all seems very obvious now, at least to some of us, because it's working so well, but there was no model out there for what kind of organizational home you could have for this kind of operation, and one that would allow both the software and the membership activity to thrive, because they were equally important. And so when we looked around, we talked to a number of different organizations and models. We really spent a lot of time on this, and I'm deeply grateful to Lyrisys for stepping up to the plate in vision of also saying we want to be that kind of new organization. We want to help figure out what this world can look like and what services we can provide to you and see how we can make this work. It's been an interesting journey. The model we've come up with has now been imitated and emulated and adapted by others. It was groundbreaking work. Again, as soon as you do it, it doesn't seem groundbreaking anymore. You know, you just, the flowers come up, you take them for granted, you know, there they are. But there was all of that planning behind it. So another really joyful moment for the partners, really, especially those of us who'd been at it for over a decade, was the take-up of the charter memberships and the ability to elect a board. Suddenly it was no longer just these three institutions trying to do something and figure out how to get it out there, but it was an organization. And so that was only in 2013. So the board has not been a board, really, it's just going into its third year. So we're a baby board. So what has the board been doing in this couple of years? It's been operating. Well, we've been getting organized. We've been pretty much setting up the policies, procedures, and structures that undergird. It's not, you know, It should be kind of invisible. It shouldn't be in anybody's way. But we need to make sure that there is that route for participation, and that we needed things like bylaws and membership criteria, policies, and little things like the budget we needed to see. And that's another thing, is because of terrific members like you, we really have had the participation that's enabled this to come take off. So, and I think two of the most important structures that the board has put into place have been the Users Advisory Council and the Technical Advisory Council. Brad's going to talk about that more, but I cannot believe how much work the members of those councils do. It's just amazing, and I really thank them. And again, it's a model of what community engagement, of what community-owned and involved software can really mean. It is definitely, it's a community product. I want to thank, you'll talk more about what they've been up to. It just really demonstrates the power of collaborative talent. So what's on the board agenda now? Well, software development is always on the board agenda, but it's not on the board agenda in the way it's on the members' agenda. In other words, we don't set the functional specifications. We don't set the priorities. The members set the priorities. Our role in software development is making sure it can happen. Is the money there? Is the staff there? Are the structures there? Is there enough process there to prioritize things? So we're just trying to make sure that all of that process is healthy. We have, as you know, also been looking at how is migration going. I thank those of you that filled out the migration surveys. We wanted to understand to what we know that software functionality is critical to your ability to take up and use the software. But to what extent is migration of data creating barriers to folks, and what can we do? One of the things we've just learned from that migration survey is that it's not just migration. I mean, we knew this, but the extent of it. It's not just migration from AT and from Archon, but it's migration from whatever and wherever your content is, and we're going to be looking at how to help people move into and populate archive space. And we had on our agenda a communications plan. I think actually for a brand new organization and a teeny tiny staff, we've been doing a terrific job of communication and member engagement, but we can absolutely do better. It's time to take a look at how we can do more. And the board will keep talking about that. We welcome your ideas for, you know, emails are always welcome, comments always welcome on, you know, what do you wish you were learning about or seeing or getting that you haven't been seeing? Because we really, we can't have a community unless we can communicate. So that's an important part. For those of you, there's another component that we're finding also is important on the communication, and that's the role of the member representatives, the kind of official people that get the mail from us, member representatives. How many of you in here are member reps? I'm just curious. Yes, that's great. So what we need from you is we have to put you in charge of communication at your institution. So we need to make sure that you're helping those, you know, your colleagues at your institutions know what's going on, get feedback to us. Some of the things we post are public and anybody can look at them, but some go to member reps, and we really need your help with that. Now, there may be some of you, you know, chuckling to yourselves because you're like a lone arranger and you think that, you know, you'd have to look in the mirror to improve communication. But there are others of you, you know, like Megan at Harvard, that are just also thinking, well, I just, you know, there's too many feral cats there for me to herd, but I'm going to try. But most of you are somewhere in between, and we do really need your help. So as we think about our communication plan, we're going to be thinking about the importance and the role of the member reps. And please remember that you know things that your colleagues don't. And we need for them to know that too. So I want to just really thank you all, seeing how many member reps are here. I can see that this is a pretty active group. You are, when I look at how this has worked, I really see what I think is one of the most kind of productive, constructive, active communities I could ever imagine. And thank you, because you're the ones that do that. Very, very grateful for you, to you, for making at least my dream come true. I think Brad's dream come true, too, I would say. He's had this dream for really a long time. So let me turn this over to Robert.